Lastly, is to say that God is sovereign, is to declare that he is the only potentate, only powerful. You know, Pope stole this word potentate. King of kings and Lord of lords. He's the only potentate, King of kings, Lord of all lords. Not the British Empire that gives lordship to whoever they will. But the idea of sovereign is being the king or sovereign of all, sitting on a throne, judging all nations. If we say our country is sovereign, then we don't get any dictate from Great Britain or America, because we're a sovereign country. This is our land. No one will take our land. And as a sovereign nation, we would do our best. We will die to defend our land. NATO should not dictate us. But that's what's happening. United States should not grab our hands and squeeze it, and we cannot do anything but just please them. No, we're a sovereign country. And as a part of a sovereign country, we defend that sovereignty. I may not be able to finish this, so let me go quick, because I'm still in my first point. The sovereignty of God is a matter of God's choice, not our choosing, not because of our parents' choosing, but he's choosing. Jesus said to Pilate, when Pilate is ready to ask him, he asked him, Jesus Christ, do you know that I have the power to release you? And I have a power to punish you. Jesus said, John 19:11, you could have no power at all against me unless it has been given to you from above. That is the sovereign power of God. And that you cannot claim. Man cannot claim that, nor angels. John 3:27, a man can receive nothing, Jesus says, unless it has been given to him from above. Try to understand that. That means you cannot receive anything. You cannot understand anything. You cannot see anything. You cannot feel anything. You cannot grab anything. Nothing from us unless it has been given to him from heaven. Unless God has given this, even privileges and opportunities, all things came from him. Nothing that we're able to receive unless it is given to us. Next verse, no one can come to me, Jesus says, thinking that, oh, I can receive Christ at any time I'd like to. I'm entitled. We're in a democratic country. This is That's the usual saying. I'm an American. I'm a Canadian. I have the right to go to church, not to church, to accept your Christ, reject your Christ. I have a choice, right? That's what we think. Because we have been wired since the very beginning we came out. You know, everything was freely given to us. But Jesus says, John chapter 6, verse 44, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. The very privilege you enjoy, that opportunity when you heard the gospel, you came to Christ, you accepted Christ, that also was given to you by the Father. And the Father was the one who draws you to Him, to Christ. And therefore we cannot be prideful of anything that we did or anything that we can do. And this should humble us. And this should draw us to trust Christ, to trust Him. John 15:16, Jesus said to His disciples, you have not chosen me, I have chosen you. 2 Thessalonians 2:13, we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord. Paul says, because God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation. Here is something that we Christians can rejoice with. Amen. Ephesians 1:4, according as He has chosen us in Him. I know we can't understand this. Before the foundation of the world. How can you understand? You mean, well, I received Him. I accepted Him. I believed. Then we opened the door of opportunity. We saw this in the scriptures. We didn't know. Oh, that God has already chosen us before the founding of this world. That's how all-powerful God sees people of the world. How does God see us? How does God see this world? Look at Isaiah 40. And I'll be finished with this. Isaiah 40, chapter 40, verse 6 to 8. God says, all flesh is grass. That's what we are. And all its loveliness is like a flower of the field. I know it's not comfortable for us to hear this. The grass withers, that's what we are. The flower fades, and all our beauty and all our glory, all our contribution in this world, because the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. When grass withered, flower fades. But the word of our God stands forever. Verse 25. To whom then would you liken me? Said God. Well, how are you going to compare me? Or where, whom are you going to compare me? Or to whom shall I be my equal, says the Holy One. Verse 26, lift up your eyes on high and see who has created all these things, who brings out their host by numbers. He calls them all by name and by the greatness of His might and the strength of His power, none is missing. He's talking about stars who created all these.
And he calls them by their names.
Somebody says that in one galaxy alone, there's billions of stars. And there's hundreds of billions of galaxies and stars. And God calls them by their name. So can we accuse God of unfairness or his judgment as unrighteous? No, we cannot. God is God. Doesn't matter how we think of him, or a lesser being, or whatever we think of him, he is God. It doesn't change his plan, doesn't change his ability to do things. It doesn't change anything. So what we do is we subject our thoughts to him. Hebrews 6:10, for God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have been laboring and you have been giving, which you have shown toward his name in that he's administered to the saints. But look at this in Romans 14:21. I'll be through with this. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? Certainly not. For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then, it is not of him who wills, not me who were willing to do, nor of him who runs, but of God who shows mercy. Verse 17, for the scripture says to Pharaoh, for this very purpose I have raised you up. So what? That I may show my power in you, that my name may be declared in all the earth. Therefore he has mercy on whom he wills, verse 18, and whom he wills, he hardens. He hardens Pharaoh's heart. I was telling to Jerah, because that's his question. It is God who hardens Pharaoh's heart. But we read how many times that Pharaoh hardened his heart. So he would not allow the children of Israel to go to worship their God. But it is God who hardened his heart. You will say to me then, why does he still find fault in me? Or for who has resisted his will? But indeed, O men, who are you to reply against God Almighty? Verse 20. Will a thing formed say to him who formed it, why have you made me like this? We're but the clay. He is the potter. Look at verse 21. Does not the potter have the power over the clay from the same lump to make one a vessel for honor and another for dishonor? Secondly, the sovereignty of God is a matter of his election. Romans 9:11, for the children be not yet being born. Look at this. Romans 9:11. The children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to the election might stand, not of works, but of him who calls. Just speaking of God's love for Jacob and his hate for Esau, even before they were born, God already hated Esau. He already had chosen Jacob. Romans 11:5, even so then at this present time also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. 1 Thessalonians 1:4, knowing brethren, beloved, your election of God. So what do? Let's do what Apostle Peter says in 2 Peter 1:10. Wherefore, knowing all this, wherefore, this is not the English, or therefore, rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Hold fast into it. Let's stand by it. Trust what God says. Submit ourselves to God. Submit our will to God. And all our thoughts to God. And this should make us humble. This should make us more trusting in Him. And this should comfort us. Because He has already chosen us. And brought us back to Him. Let's pray. Father, these vast subject that we have so limited knowledge about, may your calling and your election be strong in us, that we may not falter here and there, that our faith we should not stand in wisdom of this world, but rather in the wisdom of God. That we may take the gospel of salvation and herald your salvation to all people. Help us to continue to ponder this and understand this, that it is not us who wills, but it is you, O Lord, who called us. Bless us all together. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.